Thank you for downloading this podcast from Emmanuel Church Lurgan. At Emmanuel, our vision is to help rewrite the story of Craigavon, Ireland and the nations with the good news of the Kingdom of God. We hope you enjoy listening to this message.
It's been a wonderful couple of weeks, or two, 3 weeks in church. We spent in our teaching. Sorry, my dad gave me a sweet before I got up as well. My dad was like a dealer of all menthol sweets this morning. He handed me two of them just before I got up, so I'm still sucking one of them here as I speak to you. For the last two or three weeks, just in the teaching of this, we've been unpacking specifically. You know where we've been in the series? We looked at Ephesians chapter 4 a few weeks ago, and we looked about the fivefold gifts that are available in terms of the leadership gifts that are released within the body, so that we can equip the saints to do the work. But yet over the last 3 weeks, we specifically looked at what we classified or called the manifestation gifts of the Spirit that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's been wonderful, though, as we've not just been able to teach on it and unpack it in life groups, but even as we started in over this past week, so last Sunday night and on Wednesday night past, we had our first two nights of these events, or this event that we were calling Labs. We said that we specifically just wanted to gather and just to hunger and to invite and just to ask for more of the Spirit, to see an activation of the gifts amongst us. And listen, it was a brilliant space to be in. There was over 200 people each of the nights just gathering in this space, just hungry for more of the Spirit. And listen, I want to say this, there's another one of these nights that are coming up on the 24th of March, so that's next Sunday night, we're going to be having the final date of this. Can I also say this, though, that we're not framing everything just on these nights of the lab nights. We want to leave space at the end of the service as well. We want to believe that the Holy Spirit is available to us for any time that we call and we ask for more of the Spirit in our lives, but yet there's something that we have moments like this, just with the laying on of hands and just together in the public ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we realize is crucial. And for many people who were in the space in those nights, it was wonderful. They just gathered with just a hunger and a desire for more. And so I would love you to get that date into your diary today. At the end as well, we're going to try and leave a bit of space as well just for ministry, and for people to receive in different ways as well. Today, my hope, though, as we come towards the end of the series, there are other gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament. And the last thing that we want to do is just to almost gloss over them in a way to say, well, we've covered the main ones, the really important ones, and these ones are here secondary, because they're not. All of the gifts that are mentioned in Scripture are important, right? And today, what we want to do, I'm going to give you just a brief overview of what those gifts are according to the different passages that we've read, and then I'm just going to specifically just look at two to three of these gifts this morning, and then we're going to leave space for the Spirit to move amongst us. Paul, let me remind us of this. The strap line that we had, the subline that we had for our title for the series, was framed in this verse in Ephesians, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Paul says this to the church in Corinth, follow the way of love. So he's, 1 Corinthians 12, he's just taught on the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, he's just taught on the passage about love. And this one he comes into in 1 Corinthians 14, and he says, therefore follow the way of love. And this was our strap line, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy. Phil, he referenced this last week, and we talk about this repeatedly and grow in our discipleship course. This word for earnestly desire, the proper understanding for it is this language, zealously lust. The idea of lusting after something. I often say this in grow. Imagine, you can understand the imagery that Paul is trying to bring out with this. When you lust after something, when you long, when there's almost like something that it's just consumes your mind, it consumes your thoughts, you're fully given for that, you're fully given to that. You can understand what Paul is trying to say. It takes over our thoughts. And so in the same way that Paul looks at this, he borrows this word that we can often use in a negative way. Paul lifts this word and applies it now to our desire for the Spirit. In the same way where many aspects of people's lives just feel all-consuming, that they can't stop thinking about it, they can't stop these different areas of their life, Paul borrows this and applies it to our desire for the Holy Spirit. It's almost like, long for it. Lust for it. Allow this to be your waking thought. Allow it to be the thing that's just on your meditation and thought throughout the day. It's the final thought, your closing thought as you go to bed at nighttime. Paul was calling the church, let's long for more and more and more of what he has for us. I can understand that this is probably where the psalmist was pressing into in the same desire he was trying to express. He says this in Psalm chapter 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants after you, O God. Listen to this in the bit in bold. My soul thirsts for you. Like, I long for you, God. I'm so thirsty for you. I want more of you. The psalmist would later go on to say this in Psalm 63. Look at all these words in bold again. O God, you are my God. Early and earnestly will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, God. My flesh longs for you in a day and thirsty land, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see your power and your glory. So as I have seen you in the sanctuary, you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. Listen to this. My soul follows hard after you. God, I long for you. I want more of you. I long for you, God. And so this is the... If you can imagine this, because God's describing the two different aspects, the two different sides of the relationship that exists between us and him. And Paul, what he's trying to draw out into the church and to us as the church, he's trying to draw out that on our side and our part, what is important of us is that we are people that just desire him, that want more of him. That we would seek just to see more of his presence just released in our body, our souls, and our minds. That there be a fresh new level of intimacy that we would step into. That with us, for us in our hearts, that we would thirst after him. That we would lust for more of him and for more of his presence in our life. And yet God on his side, in his part of the relationship, says, I want to make myself known to you. I want you to know me. I'm not going to withhold myself from you. I want you to know me fully. And this is why the verse that Phil looked at last week, again in Luke, we know this. Jesus says this, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? John records actually the words of Jesus that he says this, for the one to whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. Some translations would say without measure. But without limit, God desires to give more and more and more, and for us to know him in more and increasing ways, more and more and more of who he is. And this is why the strap line that we have for this series is just earnestly desire. Hunger after more of God's. I wonder though, when you hear these words without limit, what that often means for you. What are some of the areas in your life where it feels, you know, it's been limitless? You see, people would give gifts like a lifetime supply of different things. I don't know what that might be. This week, when I was thinking about this verse, where my mind started to navigate to, and listen, let me say this, so that you don't think that this is how I understand the Spirit, right? And just, I understood this even from a memory that I had in my own life. I remember growing up, and so with my family, with mum and dad, one of our favorite places to go to for a good feed was a place called the Tullymore House Hotel in Broxham, right? And they did this amazing carvery lunch, right? We used to go, and especially in birthdays, it was my favorite place. As a round, jolly young fellow, this was one of my favorite places to go. So birthdays, this is where we always went. And it had this amazing buffet dinners, amazing range of starters, these amazing main meals and desserts. It was incredible. It was every young round boy's dream, right? And we went to the space. And what always happened, because it was all you can eat, it was all you can eat. It was without limit. And what often happened was that as we finished, and we were stuffed, and we knew that we'd come to the end, Mum would say, right, up you go again. Bring your plates. And we would go up and say, could we just get some meat, please? just get a bit of that, bit of that. We would bring the plates down, the whole family would bring the plates down, and out of Mum's bag would come a roll of tinfoil. She might not forgive me for saying this, right? Out of her bag would come a roll of tinfoil, and all the meat would be loaded into the tinfoil. The tinfoil would go into the bag. Many a good handbag was ruined, but we were fed for the week as a family. All because, and listen, I know it's a playful way of thinking, but all because my mum understood in a moment what it was to have something without limit. It was all you could eat. There was nobody stopping. Nobody was putting a limit on it. And so what she did was, because we just went up and we asked again, could we have some more? Could we have some more? When something's without limit, you just go back and you keep asking for more. There's no limitation that's placed upon us. You just go back and you just ask for more. Gotta have some more. You see, so what happens as we get into the teach this morning, what happens is, for many of you who maybe came along like last Sunday night, Wednesday night, and hopefully you did receive and experience something of the Spirit, the last thing that we're saying is that, so that's it done. Live off that memory for a lifetime. It's come back and ask for more. It's like me, the young boy with the plate. Can I have some more of that meat? Come back and ask for more. He desires to give more. He gives without limit, without limitation. Don't place a limit upon how much God wants you to experience him. Don't place a limit upon how much of the gifts God wants to release upon your life. Don't be satisfied with just a little. Be expectant for an abundance and for more. He desires to pour out the Spirit without measure or without limit. So as we come to this morning, this is the understanding that we come to. God desires to give us without limit. And so what we see in Paul, he brings this, and so out of the main passages that we've looked at, Paul, we've done a good bit of teaching and all that, but yet there is a broad range of gifts that Paul describes. A broad range. Because Paul wants you to be able to see, and I'm going to come back to this again this morning, what could so easily happen is that we think only the people that are operating in some really important gifts, they're the Spirit-filled ones. And yet what Paul wanted the church to be aware of, no, there's many, many ways in which the Spirit will make himself known. And the Spirit will apply himself to you and through you so that you can help other people. These gifts that the Spirit has are not just based around 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 gifts. There's many that we see. And so what we see in the passages, let me show you this. In the passages we've looked at, so in 1 Corinthians 12, this is where we've looked at. You see some of the lists there of like the likes of the apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then it talks about miracles. It talks about healings. But it also mentions this in bold of helping, gift of helps. Guidance. Peter says this. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one speaks the very words of God. And then he says this in bold, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Paul says this then to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 12. So again, you see some of the gifts that are mentioned here in the smaller writing and prophecy and teaching. But look at the words in bold. If it's serving, then serve. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The Bible just goes on and on in other different ways. And here's just a list of some of the ways we're going to try and just pull these out. And again, the last thing we want to do is to simply say, well, we've covered what we think are the main ones. That's all we need to do. I want us to draw and us to have an understanding of the full extent of what God desires to do. And so that hopefully, even in 2 or 3 of the gifts that we look at today, you might be able to see and identify the Spirit is at work in your life. Where you don't downplay yourself. Where you don't compare yourself to others and say, I'm not as good a Christian as them. The Spirit chooses, remember we looked at, the Spirit alone chooses which gifts we get. The part in our part is just simply to desire them, to come back and to ask for more and more and more. So let's just take a look, 3 gifts, a few minutes in each, and then we're going to close with some worship, and we're going to just leave space just to receive afresh this morning. Firstly, the gift of leadership. So there you see the verse from Romans chapter 12. If it is to lead, do it diligently. There are many people who in a natural sense, and we know this, don't we, that there are many people in a natural sense, we recognize this gift of leadership. Actually, if we were to look at the gifts in Romans chapter 12, many of the gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12, you could easily identify them in non-believers' life. Right? Many of the things that are mentioned, and I understand that. That's why some people, we've often referenced them as the gift of the Father. And we would still say it in that way. There are certain things that are just built within us in a creative mandate where God is, we have been knit and we've been sewn together in our mother's womb. God has placed within us certain abilities and certain talents and certain gifts. That's for all of humanity. But what happens, right, is that as the Holy Spirit comes upon people's lives, whether they carry that gift or not, what the Holy Spirit desires to do is that even if it is a natural ability, the Holy Spirit desires to come upon an individual and to elevate it into a place that is supernatural. There's a supernatural grace and there's a supernatural way that people operate in these ways. And it's not even that you have to have a natural ability to do it. I would say that it's incredible when people can, with a natural ability in their life to do it, when the Spirit comes upon it and elevates it. But yet the Spirit can come upon an individual and can lead and can operate in this way. And one of the gifts that we see is in the gift of leadership. The reality is we know, as I said, many people who don't belong to the church, not even just Emmanuel, but just people who just don't belong or don't follow Jesus, that we see this gift in. And so I was thinking this week, so characters like Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, incredible leaders, incredible entrepreneurs. As they were being knit and they were sewn together in their mother's womb, yes, there was something of leadership and abilities that were placed within them. But yet for many of you, and even if you recognize that you are a strong leader and you have been over your life as the Holy Spirit, listen, what a gift it is when people step into and operate in the supernatural grace and ability to be able to lead other people. As we lead, this is what John Thompson would say about the gift of leadership. Leaders are the ones that are given the heaven-sent what and where, but not necessarily the how. It is primarily vision, not implementation. The gift of leadership should be central in all churches. These are the people that almost carry the vision in terms of this is where I believe God's calling us to go. They come with this ability. Here's one of the difficulties, though, that I have seen in the church over the years. And this is why As a church, we want to speak honestly and openly about the gifts. This is one of the things that we've realized. One of the difficulties over the years is that there have been many. You see, everybody who leads within a church just gets labeled with the title pastor. Have you noticed that? Every church, right, or rector or curate, everybody who leads, they just get labeled with the exact same title. And yet what we've seen over the years in the church, and maybe you recognize this in different people's lives, is that there are certain pastors who, they don't have the supernatural gift or grace to lead in terms of casting vision, moving forward, directing the church in terms of where to go. And on the other side of it, I would say there are some pastors who have the ability to lead out of the supernatural gift and grace that we're talking about, but yet they don't actually carry the gift or grace of pastoring. And yet what happens is that it leads to this place of frustration. It can lead to a place of burnout for the pastor because they're trying to operate out of a gift or a grace that they're not actually carrying. This is why the gifts are given to the body. This is why the gifts and the graces, as we looked at in Ephesians chapter 4, are released throughout the body. There are different people who will operate in these different ways. It's not all about one person. This is why we believe in this church and team-led leadership. We believe and we recognize that the Spirit will bring different abilities and different graces and anointings upon people's lives. And this is why I want to pray this morning that perhaps for some people in the room, the supernatural grace and gift of leadership could be released in our lives in this season. Another gift that we see here is this gift of administration. Just two more. And then we're going to close just with the time just to wait upon the Spirit today. I want to leave a lot of space for that. The gift of administration, we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, then gifts of healing, helping, and here it is, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. The spiritual gift of administration, the difficulty with it, it's not necessarily just that it's not about the leader who's casting vision. In fact, many people would often frame the people who carry this gift or operate out of this gift almost as second chair leaders. They work really closely alongside a leader, a visionary leader who's casting vision. These are the ones that actually helped outwork it. One of the understandings of this that we see, or one of the translations of this word administration, is it's a Greek word, kerbinesis. This is where it comes from in the Bible. We see this. But one of the other ways of understanding it is simply this. It's a helmsman. It's a navigator. And what would have happened, so for the helmsman, is the captain would have cast the vision in terms of this is where we're going, would have mapped the direction and the journey. The helmsman was the one that was steering the ship. The helmsman was the one who was making the calls and was doing some of the practical things to steer the ship in the right way. And what we see with this gift of administration, the amazing gift that it is to the church, other words for it are guidance or governance. But if this gift is not around the gift of a leader, often people can be frustrated. And yet what we can see is this, the significant grace that this releases within a church. When you see people who are just able to just direct people and to lead people and to facilitate spaces for people so that they can actually implement. And for these individuals, they implement and they outwork so strategically and beautifully the ways that God's calling us to go. J. Robert Clinton says this, the gift of administration involves a capacity to manage details of service and functions to support and free those in leadership to prioritize their efforts. Those with the gift of administration, they're not so much focused on the where or the what, but they're more focused about how are we going to do it. Read this list with me. Here's some signs that you might have this gift, or you might see it in your life. You have an effortless skill for organizing tasks and people. You like to streamline and clarify the steps required to accomplish these complex tasks. You have a concern for the good of the whole group when you're in charge of that group. You're at your best meeting not only the needs of the group, but also the needs of the leaders. Again, many unsaved people carry this grace, but when we see this and we see the Spirit come upon people's lives and it takes them from a natural ability to something that's supernatural, what a gift it is for the church. For some of you in the room, you carry the gift of administration. We're so thankful for you in our lives. And if you carry it and you're not operating within it, we want to see you released in this way within the church and to see the life and fullness that comes from it. The last gift that I want to talk about today is just the gift of giving. Paul says this to the church in Rome, if your gift is giving, then give generously. Many of you, let me just get a wee drink of water, sorry. Many of you have heard our teaching over the years. About a year and a half ago, I was here with a whole range of buckets when we did teaching on tithing at that stage. Rather than bringing the buckets, here's a wee picture of them, right? And what we did at that stage, we just had 10 buckets. One of them was orange. And at this point, we started to teach on the principle of tithing. It's a biblical principle. We've just lifted our tithes and offerings this morning. This godly principle, let me just explain this for 1 minute, and let me just then tie it into this gift of giving. But what we see is that in a scriptural understanding, this gift or this principle of tithing said that we were to give 10% of what we had. This is what was laid out in the Old Testament. 10% of what we had, give it unto the Lord. And so for many people, when they practice the gift of tithing, or they practice the area of tithing, they give 10% of their monies unto the Lord. And yet what we know with this is that there are many people sometimes who could use an excuse and would say, well, that's Old Testament language. Praise the Lord, we're New Testament. We don't need to give the tithe anymore. And yet what we pointed out at that stage was that before it was even laid down as Old Covenant law in the book of Leviticus, we actually read about tithing firstly in Genesis chapter 11. And at this moment in Genesis 10 or Genesis 11, when we read about the principle of tithing, as God calls his people to practice this area of tithing and giving unto the Lord, here's what we need to know. The New Testament and the New Law can't do away with something that the old law never actually began in the first place. The area of tithing was a principle before the law was even given in the book of Leviticus, before it was said about. This is a godly principle for us to practice in our life. And yet when Jesus came around and Jesus was here, Jesus, what he did was he used this language. He hadn't come to abolish or to do away with the law, but he had come to fulfill it. He'd come to show us a fuller way of understanding this. And so what Jesus does is that he takes this principle of tithing and he elevates it further to say, actually use this as your baseline. But what he desired to see was us to live out this area of generosity. That we could be a people who, yes, could practice this principle, but could go beyond it. Could look for other people and could give of ourselves to other people in this way of giving of the finances. What we see with, we've just practiced tithing this week, and we'd said this even when we taught on tithing, it's not generosity, it's not this gift that we're talking about now and the spiritual gift of giving, it's just simply obedience. When you give of your tithe unto the Lord, hear me in this, it's not about generosity, it's not about giving, it's just being obedient. And so when I give unto the Lord, I don't give into the baskets. Like if I stand in order, I don't do it because I'm trying to make a show of it. I just want to be obedient. I want to be obedient unto the Lord, and I tithe in that way. And yet, when it comes to the understanding of this gift of giving, it goes beyond it. The gift of giving refers to the capacity to give liberally, to meet the needs of others, and yet to do so with a purity of motive, which senses that the giving is a simple sharing of what God has given. People with this gift, I love it. They listen closely to God. And when they hear God speak, they just give generously. They give in whatever way they can. They desire to channel resources to other people. I had a conversation with a member of the church yesterday who he just beautifully operates in this heart and in this way. And they're like, oh, I just wish we could give more. I just wish we could go more. And you know, one of the things that you need to know is this, is that when it comes to this gift of giving, it's not so much about the amount, but it's actually about the heart and the motive by which the gift is given. For the person who operates with this gift, they just have such a joy to give to other people. It's actually, this is one of the thoughts, they just are thinking, who can I give and who can I bless? It's one of their prayers that they're asking, Father, who can I give of myself to? Who can I give of my resources to in this way? Signs you may have this gift. Do you get great joy out of helping someone without them ever knowing who delivered the assistance? Do you find yourself earmarking certain amounts because you have a strong sense that an opportunity to give will be presented? Do you find yourself holding possessions and resources lightly, always on the lookout for someone who might have a greater need for what you have? Listen, with these gifts, we're going to take more time next week to look at some of the others. And the reason why we don't want to just gloss over it is because I believe that these gifts, the Father desires to release them in our lives. And some of the people in the room, as part of the church, some of these gifts God desires to release in your life. Some of you are operating in this, but actually you've never actually realized or identified it as a spiritual gift in your life. Again, you've just said spiritual gifts are speaking in tongues, prophesying. What I have isn't really a spiritual gift. And yet what you need to realize, no, it is. Every bit as much in some of these ways. And so in the gift of leadership, gift of administration, the gift of giving, and all the others that we're going to look at next week, this is why we just give of ourselves, because the Spirit has deposited these gifts and these graces amongst us. Johnny and Jamie are going to come here for me, guys, could you? Today, let me finish by saying this. If you've been following our Bible reading plan, today we've been looking, we're in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 is one of my favorite passages. And you've probably heard me talk about it a lot. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went to pray and they met a lame man on the way. You know the song. And as they come into the temple courts, they see this man, and he's begging for money. And Peter and John, they come up to him, and Peter says these words to him. He says, look at us. The man, they started looking at this man intently, and they realized actually this man, what he needs, he thinks he knows what he needs, but we're going to give him actually what he really needs in his life. And Peter says these words in Acts chapter 3, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. This was Peter's heart. What I have, I give you. And it's this same Peter. It's this same Peter who in his epistle says these words. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. Peter, who spoke boldly and said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give you. He says this to the church. He's saying, church, in the same way, whatever you have, whatever gifts God desires and has given you and desires to give you, even in this season of your life, whatever you have, use it to serve others. And so to lift the lid off it today, and some of the understanding that people have had, oh, I don't really have the gifts of the Spirit today. I just want to show you, actually, there's many ways in which the Spirit moves. Next week, we will press into it further, but hear it in our lives. Whatever you have, use it for the Lord. Whatever He has given you, whatever He is giving you, even in this season, and even as we leave space this morning, whatever He deposits in the room this morning, use it to serve others. Would you stand with me a second?
We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. For more information about our church and all that we do, please visit our website at emmanuel-church.co.uk.